حضرت النبی موسیٰ رضی اللہ عنہ قال قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم یذکرہ ربہ والذی لا یذکر ربہ مثل الحی والمیت او کما قال رواہ البخاری مسلم و بیہقی. This is a very popular, very famous, well-known hadith, and this hadith has been narrated in various books of ahadith, and this is also narrated in Fazail Amal. Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala narrated this hadith in Fadail Dhikr, in the section Virtues of Dhikr. With regards to the subject and deen of Islam, this is a very important hadith. The pious elders have commented on this hadith and have done a lot of tafsir and commentary, analysis. And the meaning of this hadith is that Allah's dhikr, the people who do the dhikr of Allah, who remember Allah, and those who don't do the dhikr of Allah, the contrast, the example is such, just like the person who is living and the person who is not living. The two extreme, opposite extremes. In other words, those who remember Allah, who do the dhikr of Allah, they are alive. And those who don't do the dhikr of Allah, they are as if they are deceased, passed away. That's the meaning of this hadith. Now, the person who's deceased, who's died, and the person who's alive, what's the difference? The difference is more than the gap between the heavens and the earth. Even the child, even the elders know what's the difference between a living and a dead person. The dead person and the living person, what's the prime difference? The example that's been given in this hadith, is that when a person passes away, then he is called deceased. He has passed away, he is dead. What's the condition of the person who has passed away? Cannot speak, cannot listen. And just a few moments before, when he or she was alive and was doing everything, now he or she cannot speak, cannot listen, he cannot eat, he cannot drink, he cannot walk, he cannot move, nor is there any desire, no interest, no hobby, nothing. Pick this up, take this air, raise your hand, put your hand down, turn your head to this side, to that side. There's nothing left when the person's passed away. What's that person called? A dead person. A dead person. Big example, directly from this hadith. And that hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the people who are physically living, apparently, they are also dead. And who are those who are alive? SubhanAllah, like we say, that a person who's alive, this is our definition. Let's look at our definition of life and death is what? Wake up in the morning, breakfast, fried eggs, paranta, go outside, work, sweat, run here, left, right, gossip, chit-chat, play football, badminton, go to work, job, career, joking, having a laugh, eating, drinking, go and stand at the shop, count your money, count the notes. What is the definition of this for us? Life. We call this life, living person. And the dead person is nothing, cannot do nothing. And the person who's alive does all of these things I've just said. This is the difference, isn't it? For us in this dunya. But Allah's definition is different for the living and the dead person. For the living. And this definition, if we analyze, then if we look at the worldly definition, then yes, we are all alive. But Allah's definition is that person is deceased, who in reality has passed away. How? Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being, and after creating the human race, Allah said, I created you human beings, خَلَّقُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, you were created for one purpose. Every man, woman, boy, girl was created to obey my orders, Allah said. This is why I created you. What should you be doing? Obeying my orders and to practice on my orders. Now, Allah Ta'ala's ahkamat, they are there, existing now, just like they were before. Salah, adhan is being called, and we are standing chit-chatting. Chit-chatting at salah time. Just like we drink tea in front of the dead person. The dead person cannot drink tea, can he? He's dead. And Allah Ta'ala's definition and quote, who is dead? Passed away. The person, Allah's ahkams are descending on that person, fard at that time. And he doesn't do amal at that time on Allah's orders. He has no appreciation of Allah's orders. He doesn't know about salah, fajr salah, asr salah, dhuhr salah. Adhan is being called out and it doesn't go into his ears. He cannot even hear or understand. If someone says something good, he has no desire to practice it. He doesn't want to recite Quran. He doesn't want to do tilawat of Quran. And his heart doesn't feel attracted to the deen. That he doesn't want to do tasbih dhikr. He doesn't have any differentiation between halal and haram. So what kind of life is this? Allah says, the definition of this life. Allah says, this is not life. Forget the animals. This is worse life than the animals. How can this person call himself a human being? He is worse. The animals are listening to Allah's call. The birds are listening to Allah's call. The ants are listening to Allah's call. But this man who calls him Ashraf al-Makhluqat, he is worse than the animals, Allah says. He has no ruh, no spirit, no life, no living. Allah says, my orders are being sent to this person. They are descending on this person. My ahkams are coming down on this person. And he's ghafil. He's unaware of my orders at that time. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he should be doing or what he shouldn't be doing. The adhan is being called at fajr time and he's lying down on his bed. Dhuhr time adhan, he's staying in his shop. Asr time is being called, he doesn't know it's asr time. Allah's ahkams, Allah's laws. And those ahkams, Allah's given the detail, the tafsir, the commentary, everything Allah's explained. That this is your duty, 5 times salah in the day, must. Allah's ordered. And if you can't pray in the masjid, okay, we say, oh no, I can't go to the masjid, I'll pray at home. Salah is accepted here. So his life does not reflect the deen. Allah's ahkams, he doesn't know halal, lawful, he doesn't know haram, unlawful. He is consuming and doing haram things with enjoyment. He's continuing with enjoyment. He doesn't know anything that are, oh, am I doing haram or is this halal at this time? He has no care, no due diligence. Am I doing wrong at this time? Has Allah told me to refrain from this or not? No, it's okay. Allah has not said this. It's not important. The whole dunya thinks that person's alive. But Allah says, no, in my kitab, that person is deceased and he will stay deceased. He will die deceased and he will wake up deceased on the day of judgment. And some of those people, Allah says, you think they're dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءُكُمْ وَلَكِلَ Allah says, don't think that they're dead. No, they are alive. So life and death, Allah's definition, Allah says, is not linked with breaths or eating or drinking or you're running around the dunya. But life and death is related directly proportional to the implementation of Allah's ahkams. When a human being, as long as a human being, for every moment, every second, if he disobeys Allah, then his name is written in the list of the dead people. And not just that it's a small sin or a big sin. No, astaghfirullah. Allah's court, there's no small sin or big sin. Imagine. That Allah Ta'ala is the Khaliq and He's ordering. And He said, no, this is a small thing. It's okay, it's only a small disobedience. I just lied a little bit. Oh, it's only one salah I didn't pray in one day. What difference does it make? It's only one salah I didn't pray. So what? I did the rest. No, when a person starts to think like this and his life reflects these, so if you see it in me, if you see it in my practice, or if it's in your life, in your home, if there's a family member who's not doing the right thing, if your wife's not doing the right thing, if your daughter's not doing the right thing, if your son's not doing the right thing, if your mother's not doing the right thing, if your father's not doing the right thing, then straight away at that time, speak the haq, the truth, that this person is now deceased. His life has ended. With that person, deal with that person then. How? How? That make them alive, give them revival, give them breath of deen, give tabligh to them, give them ta'aleem, educate them. This is fard on us, that I am alive and the people around me are deceased. I am doing amal on Allah's laws and in front of me my friends, my family are dead. If a person's dying, what do we do? Aren't you upset that time he's dying in front of you? Some friend of mine is about to die. What will you do? That if you realize that this time a person's died, even if he's died already, you'll try, oh, call the ambulance, call the doctor, maybe they'll do life-saving support. And after the doctor comes suddenly, and the doctor knows he's died, even then the doctor tries and doesn't say that the person's dead, he'll put some jumps on him, try to resuscitate him or her, and then eventually after some minutes, 10, 15 minutes, they say, no, the person's died. Isn't this the case? So if there's the real death of a person's taken place, where a person's disobeyed Allah, if your son is dead, He's not practicing deen. He doesn't know what time is prayer. He doesn't know that dhuhr is finished. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. Then he's dead. That son or daughter is passed away. Not physically dead, but the dead that Allah has defined. That person's wretchedness, the curse on that person. The curses are coming continuously. The lack of blessings. How can you imagine Allah Ta'ala's badbakhti of that person? Imagine a person stood in his shop, in his home, in his living room. The person's passed away. Yeah, I looked at some statistics and I'll repeat them again. And this is a confirmed fact that I'm telling you. That 3 million people, for example, in 300 million people are in India, or maybe a little bit less than that. That's the number of Muslims in India. And what's the figure? They will be amazed if we hear this. That 2% of those people pray 5 times salah. Imagine, from 150 years, the work of tabligh is in India, ta'aleem. There are more than 6,000 madaris and institutes, and work of tabligh is done. There are darul ulooms in India. There's so much. And despite this effort, today, in those hundreds of millions of Muslims, 2% is less than what? Maybe 50,000? Just thousands. This is a statistic of one country. If we are deceased already, we've passed away, then the people of the dunya will treat us like deceased people. Then why do we complain when we are mistreated? Why do we complain that what's happening today? This is not life. Don't blame other people. If you want to see who are alive, come, I'll show you who are the people who are alive. Subhanallah. If you want to see that who is really alive today, and I want to follow that person's example, and how does Allah give rizq? That person's not reliant on potatoes and onions. One sahabi, one companion would take one date seed. Few sahaba would suck on that one date seed and break the fast. Subhanallah. And they used to go out on expeditions. And we, 3-4 thighs and legs of chicken and biryani plates, we eat and we say, I'm still hungry, I've got diabetes. And we start burping and we start complaining. What's the reason? Because Allah Ta'ala says, the people I've defined as alive, they get spiritual nourishment, Allah Ta'ala says. And they're not greedy, making money, interest, and fill up the treasure chest. Because their body is full of food and vitality, nourishment. And if Allah is sending the food from the heavens, they don't need to take money, buying, selling, and transactions. What will they get taste from the mango of the world? If Allah Ta'ala is sending them the taste from the mangoes of paradise. Subhanallah. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? So as long as we don't understand this basis of life, my friends, my aziz, that life and death, what's the difference between life and death? The diseased person physically has passed away and we pray the janazah. But those people whose janazahs we pray every day in our homes, Allahu Akbar. Every day we see their janazahs being performed in the homes and we pray their janazah salahs in the homes. What about those people who don't pray salah? What will be their hal? What about those people who consume haram and follow haram lifestyles? What will happen to them? Those who reject Allah says, this is wrong, don't use this, don't do this, this will give you loss. We say, no, it's okay, and we laugh it up with a snigger, with a sneer. We say, we're forced to do this. How can I follow this? How can I follow this law? Is this not our basis of our life today, this thinking? Otherwise, oh, I'll be too far back in the world. People will laugh at me and mock at me and snigger at me and laugh at me. And we've made this basis in our life today. In other words, our basis of life of success is what? That Allah's ahkams, we reject them and we think that we will progress. Rather, Allah says, you can never get progression. You are not even alive when you reject my laws and my orders. And I'll give you this proof today, Allah says, that your hal will tell you you are already dead. That the people of the dunya will treat you just like dead people are treated. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. That this is the condition a person passes through when he rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One dead person. Yes, don't allow a person who's deceased in your home to carry on that way until you revive their life. You should not allow one diseased person to be in your home. It will give big, big difficulty to the family and to that household. With du'as, with effort, with tabligh, with propagation, with ta'aleem, with education, beg them, cajole them, encourage them that in our home, in our village, in our town, in our society, in our city, there should be no deceased person due to whom, him or her, curses of Allah coming from the heavens. This is the difference between the alive and the dead. This is Allah's definition. So who is alive, subhanAllah? Now let's look at life. on the basis of Allah's definition. Who is the alive person? Life, the person who's alive is like him. Subhanallah, he's smelling something, there's a whiff of food, he's passing by a takeaway. Oh, I can smell the roast and the chicken being fried. There's a steak being cooked here. Because we can smell, isn't it? You've got the sense of smell. The same way, Allah's definition of life is what? Subhanallah. Oh, now I'm sitting here, I've got 10 minutes. Let me do dhikr of Allah for 10 minutes. Oh, tonight is night time now. Okay, let me wake up and recite half a juz tilawat of Quran. Oh, why am I wasting time? I've just woken up, I've slept all night long. Let's pray some nafil, some voluntary rakats for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we're sitting down. Why gossip and gossip manga? Let's recite the Durood Sharif. So many food items Allah's given for taste. We get one broast, the person who's alive and he's so happy, gets mad. Broast, broast, chicken legs. Allah says, the people who are alive, I have given them such dishes and recitations that there's no lacking or no shortage of dishes for their enjoyment. You name it. Select however much you want to consume. Allah says, the people who are alive at this moment in time, for them is the night of Jummah tonight. Great dish that Allah has given. Say subhanAllah. Is this, who is this for? Those people who are alive, who recognize life. If someone invites you to food, if someone calls you to their home for a feast, someone gives you an invitation card. Yes, for example, has anyone invited you from far? Someone's come from this far, someone's come from that far. There was only one person in that city before. And look how people come and now and sit down. Yeah, they come, they're ill, they come and sit down. Why? Because they are alive, they've recognized the signs of life, they've smelt that a great dish is being presented on this night. What is the name of that dish? Allah Ta'ala says that those people who sit in the gathering of dhikr, they are consuming the fruits of paradise in that gathering. Subhanallah. So those people who smell the whiff of paradise, that the fruits of paradise are being distributed in this gathering, will they not come to this gathering? Rasulullah has said in hadith, Sahih, a person passes a takeaway, he smells the chips. Oh, let's buy a portion of chips and a chicken and sit down with the kids. Oh, beautiful taste and beautiful smell. We'll enjoy it. We'll have some food tonight. And the takeaway people, they put smell and fragrance and certain ingredients that that person, I want him to come back to my shop. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared such a preparation, such a gathering, such majalis of fakirs and walis of Allah, that those who are alive, Allah says that I don't want him to pass by and waste this gathering. Come and sit down straight away and feel the fragrance of this great gathering. Such majalis Allah ta'ala prepares around the world. Oh, I was sinful. I thought, let's see what's the time in the mosque. I saw some people sitting in the corner. So I went and sat down as well, says one brother. Subhanallah. He didn't even know that what is this gathering. He didn't even smell the beauty of this gathering. He didn't know the words and the recitation. But he saw the gathering. So, okay, let me go and sit down there for a few moments. So, a person who knows and who's aware and alive already, and he knows it's night of Jummah. And the next day is Jummah. And Allah Ta'ala has announced. What has Allah announced? Listen to the announcement. Allah Ta'ala says that these 24 hours from the Maghrib on Thursday night till the Maghrib on Friday night, the person who's alive will stay alive. Those who are deaf, dumb and blind, they don't know what's happening. Who will do this? The person who's alive. He will recognize. This is the example as given in the Quran. مَثَلُ الَّذِي Allah says, I'll tell you the example. Who? What is the difference between the person who's alive and the person who's dead? I'll give the definition, Allah says. So the person who realizes that Thursday night, Jummah night, this is valuable till tomorrow, 24 hours, and I may not stay alive into Jummah. So now look at the schedule Allah has made. Allah says, in these 24 hours, if you do one action, that after every hour, 600 people are freed from Jahannam and sent to paradise. Allah does this on these 24 hours. 600 people. Is there no bigger chance than this? Great chance. 24 hours, every hour, 600. 10 hours, 24 hours, 6,000, 12,000. 14,400. Subhanallah. So here another point I understand from this now. Allah is Rahim. Allah is Kareem. So one person on his own. And I do maghfirah dua. Allah forgive me if I'm on my own. I say Allah. But 600 people's names are coming. Whoever asks Allah Ta'ala, Allah will take out of Jannah. What should I do? Allah, I say that why should I ask for forgiveness for myself? I say Allah, my father, my mother, my daddy, my grandfather, my whole family, and everyone who, all Muslims from the first day till Qiyamah, everyone Allah. So how many people will come into that I will ask for bakshish, forgiveness? So who will do this right now? The person who's standing in his shop? The person who's outside making money? The dead person? The dead person, can he eat? Only those people can do this action who are alive. They'll run for Jummah. 24 hours I've got now. I'm not going to do anything else. First, I'm going to ask for my maghfirah.
I'm going to ask for my parents' forgiveness, my people of my family, their forgiveness, and this person, that associate, that friend, that colleague, his, her forgiveness. 24 hours from now till tomorrow Maghrib, 24 hours, astaghfar, remembering Allah. I am not going to waste my time, no other program, no drama, no wasting time. I'll have no interest or anything in these 24 hours. Allah's given me one day in the week, and maybe I won't get it next week. Maybe I'm going to grab this day. I don't know that death, it may come tomorrow, it may come tonight. I've got no other schedule apart from this. So this is the best chance for me for now, is that me and you, we can get maghfirah. And the person who doubts this, then he has not got iman. He has not got faith. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have given us a good piece of news, advice, and we have doubt. Oh, how can this be? Why is it important? Whoever says, how can this be? Then it will not happen for that person. And he is then lost iman at that time. Who has doubt? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look, what he taught us. Rasulullah said, don't eat from this hand, my companion. No, he said, no, I can't pick it up from the other hand. I can't pick my right hand up. The rest of his life, he couldn't pick up his right hand. And it stayed there. It was like he was partly disabled. Rasulullah's advice, rejected, not accepted straight away with the whole heart, then Allah will bring the result straight away. So we should have yaqeen that today, tonight, tomorrow, we will get forgiveness. If we are alive, we should have yaqeen. The greatest gift in this 24 hours, what should we be doing? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, Allah, forgive me. Allah, I'm a sinner. And he who says, I'm not a sinner, he who thinks he's pious, I've seen many people like this. Oh, I'm not a sinner, I'm good. Don't say, mashallah, well done, brother. You're better than the sahaba then. Every sahabi said, Allah, forgive me. Every sahabi said, Allah, forgive me. We say we're better than them. Tell me. No, I'm not sinful. What sin have I done? Who are you to tell me, brother, that I'm a sinner? What have I done? You, shall I tell you what sins I've done? I've done no sins at all. Subhanallah. You count to me how many sins. So do I need to now count for you the sins you've done? Think yourself. Analyze. Why don't you ask for forgiveness? You'll say, I'm not ill, so why do I need the cure? So those who are alive, they never say these things. مَثَلُ الَّذِي Allah says, this is the example of life and death. The difference. Do you understand that we are we alive or are we dead? So now you can calculate them when Allah's orders are revealed. Fard has been ordered. Am I practicing the fard? If it's wajib, am I practicing the wajib? If it's mustahib, am I practicing the mustahib? If it's sunnah, am I practicing that sunnah? Insan, human being, if he's doing amal, he's alive. If those amal are not in his life, then he's deceased. He's passed away. He's passed away at that time. If he does tawbah and starts the proper life, then Allah will make him come back to life. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So very easily a person can realize if he's alive or if he's passed away. Now I ask you, that who was alive at Isha time? I won't tell you to put your hands up, but think yourself. The person who came, left his dunya, lifestyle, everything that he was doing at that time, and he followed Allah's orders and Allah's call announcement, he left everything in life and he came. And at the time of Maghrib, he prayed Salah in Jama'ah, and he got late, maybe he came rushed, hurried, and he didn't miss Salah. Okay, even if Jama'at went, he's still alive, because he got late for some reason, traffic, he got stuck. But he wanted to get to the masjid, and he came to the masjid, he arrived to the masjid, he is alive, that person's alive. Remember this point. That person is alive at that time. And the person who didn't do this, who didn't pray, then he was deceased at Maghrib. You'll say, Allah, astaghfirullah, was dead at that time. His name is crossed off the people who are alive, who are from the life at that time. From Fajr till Isha, whatever salahs come, announcements, calls, orders, actions to do, men and women, if they are practicing those orders, they are alive. And when death comes, then the Quran says, بَلْ آيَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْرُونَ اللَّهِ says, that when that person was alive, then he was alive, moving physically. Even today when you're saying that person's dead, Allah says, I have announced, I call that person alive, and you don't know how that person's living in the grave. I've kept that person alive. That person is elevated if we in our lives follow Allah's ahkams and fulfill Allah's orders and His desires. Remember, no action in our whole life should be against Allah's desire. And if death comes during that, thousands of people pass away when they're practicing Allah Ta'ala's laws. But if we pass our life and we're dead, and we die at that time physically, then we will wake up as the dead people on the day of judgment. I'll tell you an event of a wali of Allah. You'll remember this, that there was a pious predecessor, and he thought that, let me go to such a place. I've heard there's a wali Allah who lives there. Let me go and see him. Why? To see the face of a wali Allah is ibadah. It is worship. To sit with the Waliyullah is ibadah. To listen, to talk to them is ibadah. To serve them is ibadah. To pick up their shoes is ibadah. Allah's friends. So you are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the person. Niyyah, it's critical the niyyah is correct. Very delicate. So Waliyullah, he is the deputy on the earth. Just like Baytullah, Kitabullah, we have Waliyullah Yes, house of Allah, book of Allah, friend of Allah. So if you respect a wali, great. If you disrespect him, Allah will destroy you. If you do excess against him, Allah will not leave you. Allah has announced in the Quran, don't pester my wali, because I will never leave you, Allah says. I will never leave you. Allah says, if you make fun of my wali, if you play tricks with them, try to cheat them, Allah says, then the wrath will come. If you have kina in your heart, you have enmity in your heart, dislike in your heart for a wali, Allah says, I will never leave you. The revenge will come. The Quran promises this. Allah says, be ready for tussling with Allah. How dare you, Allah says, my wali, my friend, I've sent him to the dunya, and you have bughaz, you have hatred and dislike, and you mock him, and you lie against him, and you have enmity against him. Allah says, then be ready to tussle with me. Is this not the Quran? So he thought, he was a wali Allah himself, and he thought, because a wali Allah is alive, he never thinks he's good himself. He will always love himself, just like we don't get tired of eating takeaways. Some brothers, they wake up in the morning, takeaway, afternoon takeaway, and their stomachs are out, big stomachs, they can't walk, and they're young. And if they don't eat 5-6 plates, or what is it? What's it called? I don't eat things from takeaways. The pizza number 20. 20 inch. 20 centimeter, I think, the sizes. And they eat the whole pizza. Big stomachs. I think it's number 12 or number 13. Is it inches or something? I don't know what it is on the menu, because I don't really eat from takeaways. That is because they are alive in the dunya, physically. Same way when the person's alive in the akhirah. So the wali Allah said, oh, there's a great wali lives in this town. Let's travel and I'll see his face. Allah will be pleased with me that I'm traveling. Maybe Allah will elevate my status, because I've traveled to see his wali. So he went on a journey to go to a certain town. And when he reached to the town of the wali, it was night time. He said, it's late now, so I'll rest in a room, and I'll meet Hazrat Sheikh with wuzu, and I'll be fresh in the morning, and I'll serve the adab of the wali Allah. I'll meet him in the morning when he's got up from sleep. Not just go and salam and disturb the Sheikh and the biadabi. All the adab, the more you go to a Sheikh with adab, with manners, and speak with the adab, with the manners, and with adab you have discussion, with adab you introduce yourself to him, to write to him with adab, to speak to him, everything comes in adab. Some people don't even have manners. That how should I write the letter? How are you, Hazrat Sahab? How are you? Direct. How are you? What's happening? I hope you're well. They cannot imagine to a wali Allah, a person writes like this, does introduction like this. Allahu Akbar. Even our Hazrat Sahib, I had a discussion through letters after 70 letters. Forget about name. Here people write the name. Hello Faruqi Sahib, how are you? Are you okay? Yes, yes, this marid, this person, this student. Subhanallah. This look, Allah Ta'ala has given the principles, the manners. In our generation today, there's no adab. There's no manners, the rawayat, those narrations, the adab, the manners, the principles. The whole deen, kullu adab. It's a complete package of adab. And everyone wants to be Bayezid Bastami, but we don't have the adab of how to present ourselves. So, the adab of the pious people, I could never remember that I went to see my Hazrat Dizman, how far I traveled. I was tired. I do wudu first. After doing wudu, I prayed nafil. After praying nafil, I recited Quran. Then I did dhikr of Allah. Then I did dua that Allah, please save me from disrespect. I've come to see your friend. Allah, please don't make me do any mistake. Forgive me. I did istighfar. I'd go to my sheikh. And such care and caution. Not just go and start embracing. I'd sit quietly, and then Hazrat himself would look towards me. Then I'd go and shake his hand. Subhanallah. This is asal, genuine adab, not drama. There are many dramas. Pick up the shoes quickly, open the doors and show this. No sheikh wants the person to serve him. These are waste of time, drama activities. There's nothing inside, just a hollow box. Yes, and there are people who implement dramas like this. So he had manners. He said, I'll wait now. It's late. I don't want to disturb Hazrat. I'll wake up in the morning, do ghusl, wear clean clothes, put itar on. It's not a smooth thing that I'm going to the deputy of the Prophet ﷺ on the earth today, the wali, to meet him. I've got to go with manners. And he was an alim haq. He was a true scholar who had traveled to see another wali Allah. So he lied down, and he was a true wali Allah himself, and he saw a dream that Hazrat passed away. The sheikh he was going to meet in the morning, he's passed away. He got up in the morning, he was upset. He said, my dream's always true, and I always see true dreams. He sat down, he was worried. He said, I came to see Hazrat and he's passed away. What shall I do? What do I do now? He said, look, I've come so far now, and he had yaqeen that he's passed away. He said, well, okay, what I'll do is that I can't meet him physically now, Hazrat Sheikh. So I'll go to his blessed grave and do ziyarah and read Fatiha and do dua, and I'll get thawab for coming to meet him. So he got out and he went in the town. He said, this Sheikh, is he here? He said, can you tell me where's his grave? They said, grave? He had yaqeen. He said, what grave? What are you talking about? That grave? He's sitting in his khanka. I've just seen him earlier today. He said, he's alive. He said, yes, he's alive. He said, no, I cannot accept this. He said, my dream has never been wrong. Yeah, because he was also a sheikh himself. He said, I've seen him in the morning. He's alive. I've just gone and met him. The person said, his khanka is there. He sat there in his khanka. He kept on thinking. He said, okay, take me to him. I need to meet him. So when he went to see Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat saw him. Soon as he saw him, he went in to see the Sheikh, and the Sheikh started to cry. He said, I know that your dream was truth. Subhanallah. He said, I was dead at that time. He said, the reason was this, that that time when you dreamt that I was dead, at that time I was ignorant, I had gone away from the remembrance of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala put my name in the list of the deceased people, because I wasn't remembering Allah during those moments. And this is our life now. Let's look at our life, my friends. All morning till night, all our life, what do we pass it with? Allah's disobedience. And death can come any time. And then we start doing khatams afterwards. 10 people come, 100 people, we feed them, khatam. Will that food go in the deceased person's stomach in the grave? Ah, the ithal ithwab does go. It does go. But this dunya, we have gatherings after a person's dead, we seat people down. And those people who do najayiz actions and then they gossip about him, oh, this person didn't come to the khatam, why didn't he come, I called him. Such a big dhulam we do in this dunya. And those are the people who are deceased. The person who's dead physically, we play games with his life after that. Just to show people in the dunya, we're doing khatam. That we call thousands of people, khatam, food, du'as. And in the food's going in your stomach, and the person who doesn't pray salah is eating, then what thawab will go to the person who's died? And what Quran reward will the person who doesn't even pray salah send to the person who's passed away? Just to show the dunya, ithal thawab is haqq. 10,000 men, if you feed them food for the sake of Allah, that the Muslim is so poor today that he doesn't get food in the morning, he doesn't even know what is a piece of bread, and they dip the bread in the water and eat it for the sake of Allah, that if you give them food and give them bread for the thawab, so that the person who's in the grave gets the reward, feed those kinds of people. We're desperate, we're not ashamed of eating, we're already, our bellies are full. We go to the khatam, we put the Quran open in front of us, we're doing a khatam, already our bellies are full, and we don't pray salah. So we are disrespecting ourselves and the sheikh and the silsila, and then we say that we are, mashallah, pure and clean, and I don't understand what's happening here. That this is called two faces. Is this the deen of your sheikh? Is this what your sheikh taught? Is this the aqidah of your sheikh? Think. Think, what will the dunya say if I don't do khatam? So why do you come to me if you're worried about the dunya? Why do you sit then at that time? Why do you worry about the dunya? If you're doing wrong, then what will the people in the dunya say about your sheikh? When you do wrong actions, the blame comes to the sheikh. Yes, so when you do wrong and you commit sins, then what will the dunya people say to you about your sheikh? We don't think about this. Astaghfar, we should repent, we should do tawbah from these actions. How will bakshish come? How will forgiveness come? Who are these people? This is what the Quran says. This is the example of those people who are alive and those who are deceased. The difference, in front of those people, there's no basis of deen. No principles, no rules, no guidelines. What should we do? What should we not do? Nothing. No guidance. No regard for the rules and the principles. So we should have fear of Allah. We should have khawf. That's all I can say. Wattaqullah. Why do we destroy ourselves? Why do we destroy the silsila to the sheikh? What answer will we give? Tell me. What answer will we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, the sheikh, when he met him, he said, yes, at those moments I forgot Allah ta'ala. I didn't remember Allah ta'ala. Struck my name off the living people's list. So if Allah ta'ala's deen, the basis of the deen is that individual who is ignorant and lazy and unconscious and aware of Allah's obedience and remembrance, he is deceased, then how can that person, at the time of fard, he leaves fard. At the time of wajib, he leaves wajib. At the time of sunnah practice, he leaves the sunnah practice. Then he says, I'm alive. And why have I got problems? Why have I got difficulties? And this is no new link with difficulties. It's not necessary the person is practicing deen and he won't get problems. He may do. If I pray salah, I've just prayed salah, why has this difficulty come to my life? I did good actions, I prayed tahajjud, why are there difficulties in my life? What? This is not the basis of the deen. Are you trying to do bargaining with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That Allah, if I do ibadah, that don't give me problems, I do dhikr, I should have a smooth life, no problems, no ups and downs, subhanAllah. It's just like saying, you know, Alauddin, he, for example, rubbed the lantern or the rock and the jinn came. He said, go and do this. And if he didn't, then the result didn't come. Allah is Rabbul Kareem. It's not a matter of that we do what we want and see the results. As if you don't pray salah, don't pray. But don't ask for success. Why do you ask from me? Why do you beg to me then after that? So Allah Ta'ala says, even if you're practicing, difficulties may come. Ups and downs may come. The Allah says that we are obeying Allah's orders. Why do you pray salah, my brothers? This Allah's order, we must pray salah. That's why we pray salah. Why do you do hajj? It's Allah's order we must do Hajj. Why do we obey Rasulullah SAW? It's the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah SAW, Allah has given the status of obedience and imitation of the Prophet SAW. If a person doesn't do this, then can there be a greater person on a greater level of deceased? That for Allah has put the level of the Prophet Muhammad SAW in such a way that Allah said in the Quran, that Allah says that if you imitate and follow the Prophet SAW, he is so beloved to me, Allah says, just like a person says in the dunya, subhanAllah, for example, I'll give you an example now, that this man is very close to me, he's my friend. You should think, if I'm not here, then this is me sitting here if you see him. Imagine the status you give to that person when you give such a heavy reference. If the Shaykh says that when you see this person, just think it's me. Even if I'm not here, just consider this him. That's me. So imagine the respect that person will get. He get it, won't he? So Allah Ta'ala is saying that when you obey the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's just as if you've obeyed Allah. The person who's obeyed the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's obeyed Allah. So Allah's putting Rasulullah Sallam in that place. So which person can say that I can leave the Sunnah in my life? And if Allah said this, and then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on top of this said that the most love I have is for my own Sunnah, then blind will that person and deceased will be that person who rejects the sunnah practice in his life. He can never be alive. Then he has no basis of life that he can say he's living. The such a great status Allah has given, such a great level to obedience and imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said here already that whatever you do that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, then imagine you obeying Allah. That's the end of story. Nothing else left. So tell me. Allah's Nabi, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we obey him, follow him, imitate him, how valuable and precious is his sunnah? And can anyone leave something when you see something precious in front of you? Who will leave the precious stone? Summun bukmun umyun fahum lajub. He said, no, it's just sunnah. It's okay. Don't make it fard. Don't make it compulsory. Our qabirin, ask our pious predecessors who are alive, what was their level of practice? How they grabbed and ran with the sunnah in their lives. And I'm just talking a little while ago. How they practiced the sunnah in their lives, how they respected it, how they did amal on the sunnah. And they couldn't imagine for a second in their life, the morning till night to do an action against the sunnah. They could not imagine a second, because their basis of the sunnah was high in their minds, in their hearts. And even here there's deception. Even here there's deception. Oh, fake. Fake. This is fake ways we try to please Allah and His Rasul Sallam, that have a conference and go on a march, or for example, we are ashiks of Rasulullah SAW. Are we mad today that we don't understand what the deen is? Don't we have akal and brain? The Quran and the hadith, they are telling us, is this, we make our own groups, oh no, this ideology, this mindset, this opinion, forget all of this. Forget all, there's only one basis for success, love me and love Rasulullah SAW. And what's the proof of love? Is this tariqah. So where have we brought tariqahs? Oh no, if we do this, then if we do this, then we can leave this and we don't have to do this and opinions. No, Allah has announced clearly already. Man ahyaya sunnati, who has said this? Who has said this? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us clearly that if you want my love, if you really want to be my companions and my colleagues, then I tell you one path. Man ahabba sunnati, fa man ahabbani, your life, top to top bottom, your wife, children, you, home, family, outside, inside, everywhere, 100% the khala of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then why do we complain after that? And all of this, we wash it away under the carpet and we run around. No, I can do this. I enjoy it this way. I don't want to do this. We'll sit up all night long. Ashik Rasul. Lanat will come from the skies on those people. Lanat will come from the skies. Total lanat and curse. That a person who lives a life against the sunnah and propagates that deen, any action against Rasulullah statement against Rasulullah, Shaykh Saadi Ramdhani said that if you do an action against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can you get the right conclusion? No way, 1% can you get to the destination of the Prophet of Allah. And this is a great wali of Allah. I'm talking centuries ago. Shaykh Saadi Ramdhani, great beloved people of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, even don't understand those references. He said, those don't live in darkness, and the dunya you'll see color glow, but no second against away from the Prophet's life will give you success. Forget the sects and the groups and the opinion. One group, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. There's no other firqa, no group, no sect, no opinion. There's no third way, no second way. There's only one way. Whoever practices this, alhamdulillah, he is high. He is high. First class A1 lifestyle. This, he doesn't need no title. He doesn't need no recognition. So do we understand the subject today, brothers? You don't understand? You understand what I've said? That we, me, us, the hadith has given us example. The person who does the dhikr of Allah, that person is alive. The people who don't do the dhikr of Allah, they are deceased. So now you can ask me one question. You don't sit empty. Say, Hazrat, you're talking about dhikr, but now you're talking about the orders of Allah. This is different. This is the case, isn't it? Isn't it? The ahkams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've discussed this today, isn't it? So what's the difference? So Allah ta'ala has given the definition, the life and the death. Those who do not implement Allah ta'ala's ahkams, they are the deceased people. And what's the reason for this? Now let's look at the reason. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu. The dhikr of Allah. Those who don't remember Allah. How is Allah given the example? With dhikr. Those who don't do the dhikr, for which reason? Because the orders of Allah, they are weak in practice. They don't have that urge because they are deceased. What's the reason that they're deceased? It's because insan, human being, when he does an amal, then Allah's orders, when he receives the command, he doesn't receive it on his head. Yeah? He doesn't receive it on his brain. It's not the body that prays. It's not the hands that pray. It's not your knees that pray. It's not your forehead that prays. These obey the commands of what? What makes us pray salah? What makes us do hajj? What makes us do good deeds? Our ruh, our spirit, our soul. It's your spiritual entity that makes you. The more your spirit and ruh is nourished, then your body will react to the orders of the ruh, of the spirit. If now dhikr is related to the ruh, the ruh, the soul, the food for the ruh is dhikr of Allah. What is it? The dhikr of Allah. So the man and woman who remembers Allah kathiran kathira, high quantity, then he's feeding the ruh, the spirit and the heart and the soul. Allah's dhikr, when a person does it, he's feeding, giving food to the ruh, to the soul, to the spirit, to the heart. The inner self. When the inner self gets the power, the energy, because he's getting food, vitamins, proteins. If you do dhikr, then if you don't do dhikr, you'll dry up and you'll evaporate. Just like you don't drink water, and then you'll dry up and frivol away. But a person who eats and eats and eats, he's got power, energy. But if your ruh now has got power and strength, the more power and strength your ruh gets, then the more amal you will practice, and you'll get the taste and the enjoyment in that practice. So that same person, the same individual who thinks it's hard to pray dhuhr, asr is too hard and maghrib's too hard. Coming to dhuhr was too hard for that person. Coming to the masjid's hard for that person. When he starts doing dhikr of Allah subhanallah, then his ruh will get energy. That same person will become so strong and powerful. Then you don't need to tell him. Tahajjud time, he'll spring up from the mattress and pray salah. Tahajjud time. Every salah will be easy for that person. Allah's every ibadah will become easy for that person. Every order and obedience to leave haram will become so simple. To follow the ahkams of sharia will be so simple. And as soon as a person does dhikr, he will give power and energy and nourishment to his ruh. Energy will come to his ruh. Then that ruh will start running to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love, not need to be forced. So that's why we are advised, those who do dhikr of Allah and those who don't do dhikr of Allah, the difference is like the living and the dead. So my brothers, my colleagues, our deceased state of the ummah, Rasulullah SAW has given the solution, do dhikr in high abundance quantity. When you see that you are weak in ibadah, worship, you're going more towards haram, you're weak in sharia, and it's a bad state of affairs, straight away go to a wali Allah, say, Hazrat, please teach me dhikr of Allah, please instruct me, teach me. And then after learning, as soon as he tells you the conditions of doing dhikr, how to do dhikr, when to do dhikr, the person who's regular, and the tariqah that the shaykh gives to do dhikr, the ma'mulat, then the person should stick to that routine. That's it. And then you'll have two things in your life. You'll have the tariqah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you've learned from a sheikh, from Hazrat, dhikr, the instructions the sheikh gives you. If you live, you do your dhikr according to that instruction, and the rest in your life, your business, your work, do what you want. Alhamdulillah, Allah's helping with you. Your ruh will get strength. It will become powerful with the fadl of Allah, and then all the sins will evaporate away. And in the kitab of Allah, when you remove the sins, then in the kitab of Allah, you will be written in the list of the people who are alive. Alhamdulillah, you are alive. So this is the meaning of this hadith, a concise short summary I've given to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give to all of us the tawfiq, Allah's sharia, the sunnah of Rasulullah, Allah's orders. Let's do amal, let's practice, and let's do analysis of our lives every day. Am I alive? Am I dead? Is my son alive or dead? Are my family members alive or dead? From which will we analyze this? From which microscope? What will be the condition, the criteria? If those members and me are doing implementing Allah's orders, they are alive. If they're not implementing Allah's orders, then sorry, they are not alive. Then what do we need to do? We need to revive those people with du'as and tabligh. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq. Ameen.